If you were following along in the book, you realize that we skipped some readings. And I've been saying for the last, well, all my priesthood, once I would like to have all six Old Testament readings and the epistle and then the gospel reading, but I was reminded that that probably would be my last Easter vigil. But it's not because I like torture or anything like that. That's not true at all. I'm told I can't do that because then Mass would be 3 hours. Well, Jesus suffered on the cross 3 hours. I think we can be at Mass 3 hours, remembering that that suffering and death did not end on the cross. It didn't end in the tomb, but rather ended in his resurrection and his ascension. But the reason is because those six readings that we have in the Old Testament tell us of God's love and tell us the breadth and depth of the salvation that we celebrate. The depth and breadth of salvation history. That in the beginning, before there was anything, God was. And he spoke the light into being, spoke the world into being, spoke creation, spoke Adam and Eve. Set them in the garden, gave them the command, go forth and multiply. And while we don't hear it at the Easter vigil, we know that what happened is Adam and Eve sinned. They broke the command of God. They broke their relationship with him. They broke their relationship with each other and even with themselves. And sin entered the world. That every one of us has been born then into that original sin, that brokenness. And the rest of the readings tell us of God reaching out to us, of God calling Abraham, of God leading Abraham in faith, and God leading his people after Abraham into Egypt and leading them out of Egypt with power and might, as we hear in that the second reading that we had tonight. As God led them with a pillar of fire by day and or by night and the cloud by day. The pillar that is very real for us in the Easter candle. The pillar of fire, and as I'm watching it smoke up, of smoke. That this is our Passover. And how God continued to call us back, because even though God had spoken and worked so powerfully in the, even in the Israelites' life, of time and again, how they went back in their own minds and their own complaints. Oh, let's go back to Egypt. You've led us out to this wretched place where we're hungry. Instead of looking at what God had done in their lives. And so God sending the prophets. Tonight, as we hear the prophets who invited us to come without cost, to eat rich food, to receive that rich wine, that good drink that gives us nourishment and life, to put away the misdeeds of our lives, to put away sin. The prophets didn't even probably have a clue, an understanding of what was God was doing in their lives, and yet spoke that mystery of God's grace that we could not earn, but that God gave all the same. And so when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, was the beginning of the life of grace for us. But only the beginning. Without Christ's death, there is no power. Without his resurrection, there is no life. And so as we gather this night in this vigil, we call to mind that Christ is the one who was crucified as our Savior and Lord, the one who was crucified as our Passover lamb, crucified for us and risen from the dead to give us life. And not just life in this world, but life eternal. And we might be like the Israelites. Oh, let us go back. Let's go back to that life of sin, that life of bondage. We might not understand its bondage. Or we can move forward. Moving forward with Christ, moving forward in his light, in his grace. We see that very powerfully depicted, this life of grace, and what we did at the very beginning, in the blessing of the Easter fire, that without God, without his even speaking life into us, we're in the dark. And that Paschal candle being a symbol of Christ, and how that light is there. And if you noticed, we stopped 3 times. Deacon Steve saying, "Christ our light." We responded, "Thanks be to God." And the first stop, the clergy light their candles. It's not because we're better or worse than anyone else. I joked with them this morning that it's because they don't want old men walking through the church without light. It's not that at all, either. Although that might be a practical reason. It's that without Christ in our lives, as priests, as deacons, we cannot lead anyone to the light of Christ. And so we have to be lit by Christ first. But notice, it's not too long until you're lit. Your light was lit with the second one. A reminder that you too have been lit by Christ. Where? In baptism. Which is why our three to be baptized this evening did not hold lit candles. They haven't yet received that light of Christ. Oh, Christ is alive in their lives, but not yet, because they have not received the waters of baptism. But we who have, we hold those candles high and let them shine, and it lights up the church. Oh, but not quite fully, does it? The church is a symbol of the world. That when we sing the third time, "Christ our light," then all of the world receives the light of Christ. Or at least is enlightened by the light of Christ. And that's the way it ought to be. Too often we Catholics are focused just on what happens here at Mass, here in the sanctuary. And too often we go out into a dark world that's longing for the light of Christ. And too often we might say, "Well, I don't want to bring that light. I don't want to stick out. I don't want to look weird." Yes, I know, a big theological word again. But the world is in darkness without Christ. We're going to light our candles again in a little bit. We're going to renew our baptismal promises, those promises that, for most of us, our parents made for us. And at each Easter vigil, each Easter, and throughout several times throughout the year, we renew those baptismal promises, and we might do so without even thinking about it. We just kind of slide into it. Christ doesn't want us to slide. He wants us to decide. That's what's so powerful about our three to be baptized, our one to be confirmed. They have made a decision to join the church. It's not an easy decision. And throughout the United States this night, 30,000 are entering the church. 30,000 people who are deciding to enter, to live this life of grace, to respond and to say, "Yes, I want Christ's light in my life." If that's true, that 30,000 are entering the church, we need to make a decision. And honestly, most of us have. We wouldn't be here if we didn't. But to make a decision that, I will accept that light of Christ. I reject Satan, all his works, all his empty show. I believe in God the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And to go beyond that and say, "I believe this so much so, that the light of Christ I have here goes with me out there into the world." We need to decide. to make a decision this night that Christ's death and resurrection has an effect in our lives. A decision to serve him with those lives.